Welcome to the Undivided Podcast with Dr. Chris Crane. Dr. Crane is the Executive Director of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. The BMBA exists with the mission to encourage, equip, and engage the community for the glory of God.
Welcome to the podcast today. This is Chris Crane, and I have the pleasure of having in the studio today Dr. Johnny Fain, longtime pastor of First Baptist Church Dothan. A lot of us in Alabama and our circles know about Dr. Fain, appreciate his ministry, but is in a new phase of ministry, and I wanted him to share about that today. So welcome to the podcast, Johnny.
Well, thank you, Chris. Good to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. And just tell us, what is God doing in your life right now? What has brought you to the Birmingham area?
Well, I pastored for 41 plus years, all over, quite a bit of places, Alabama, Georgia, and Texas, Oklahoma, various places. And after 41 years, the Lord spoke to my wife and myself when we happened to be in Kansas City, of all places.
Wow.
And I was watching some sheep early in the morning, and the Lord told me to read Psalm 23. It's a good passage to read when you're watching sheep. And I read Psalm 23, got through with that. And he said, now read 24. And I read 24. 23 talks about the shepherd. 24 talks about the king. In 25, the Lord said, read it. And I read it. And it goes on to say, so show me your ways, teach me your truth, lead me in the path of the way that you wish for me to go, because I wait on you. And just to teach me, Lord. And the Lord said, now, I'm your shepherd, I'm your king. Now, are you willing to do what I want you to do?
Ah.
And I said, yes. And he said, resign the pastorate immediately.
My.
And I said, okay. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'll do this. And someone's got to tell my wife, who happens to be in the house. And he said, I'll tell her. And I said, I went into the house. She said, well, how was your quiet time? And I said, really good. Did the Lord speak? Oh, yes. What did he say? And I said, well, he'll tell you. She went into her quiet time. An hour and a half passed. And she came out with a smile. And I said, well, did you have a good time with the Lord? And she said, yes. Did the Lord speak to you? Oh, yes. Well, what did he tell you? And she said, the same thing he told you. We're out.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I said, yeah. Now, where do we go? And we did not know. And the word assignment has always been on our mind and our radar, that we go where God assigns us, not our preference. We don't do the balancing act. Lord, this fits my so-called skill set or my personality. No, Lord, you tell me where to go, and you will change me and change the direction of everything that we're about. And that's how we've operated in the ministry. And so the word assignment started playing in our mind. And the Lord really laid on us a ministry that we called Assignment Ministries at that time, where we would help other pastors and wives stay with their assignment, not quit.
Sure.
And to help them, equip them in the area of their spiritual journey, knowing how to pray, how to walk with God in the midst of some difficult times of staying with your assignment. And then we found out later, the Lord revealed to my heart, said, you know, this is not something that is local, this is international. So the international came in, so now we got Assignment International Ministries, and if you take that and break it down, it is AIM.
Aim.
Okay. So now this makes sense.
I love it.
He is aiming us in a direction. And so he's pointed us to mainly up in the Northeast. We spend a lot of our year up in the Northeast, New England. And we help a lot of churches up there, a lot of pastors. They're very small churches struggling, you know, less than 3% are evangelicals up in the New England area.
Sure.
And some places are one. So there are some places where there's no church.
Mm.
So we go there and spend a lot of time encouraging pastors and wives, and we do it on the phone here. We do it by texting. We do a lot of things just to stay involved in them. We're involved in a college up there, Northeastern Baptist College.
Yes, great school.
At Bennington, Vermont, 10-year-old college. We have around 50 students, and the unique thing is that our students, our hope is that they come out of college without any debt.
Sure.
So there's no tuition for them if they work their way through. So they come out with it costs about $30,000 a year tuition to stay there, but they work it off. And when they graduate, there's no debt.
Wow.
And they get a New England education. It's a very difficult school, but that means that we have to raise the money to pay our professors. Anyway, the Lord allows us to be a part of that ministry up there, and really we start out with very few pastors, and now we have 150-something pastors involved in our network and dealing with Honduras, Guatemala, Brazil, and Wales. Mm. And goes from Portland, Oregon, to Portland, Maine.
That's truly phenomenal.
Yeah, it is. In 4 years, that's how much it's grown. And so we're here because the Lord put us here. Our kids live up here. Well, let's put it this way, Chris. Our grandkids live up here. And we want to be near our grandkids. And because I didn't get the opportunity to spend a lot of time with them when we were in Dothan. So we moved up here, and we're about 20 minutes from each one. And we get to hang out with them and have fun. And a part of my wife and I are members at First Baptist in Trustful, Buddy Champion. And
Buddy's amazing.
Buddy is. I've known him for years and years and years. Whenever he came out of seminary, his first church was in the Selma area where I was pastoring at First Baptist. And so I watched him grow up over the years. And I love him to death, and he does an incredible job of just leading. He's a good leader, and he walks with the Lord, and you can tell that. And so we're there when we can, but we preach around here, and we share and with a lot of different churches. Really, the prayer journey, how to walk with God, and how to call heaven down to earth.
Well, I heard you preaching at First Baptist Trustful, and you talked about the throne room. So could you just talk about throne room praying and help our audience understand about prayer in maybe a new way? It was new for me.
Yeah. And it is new, but it's old.
Yes.
It's old. Several years ago, I was just seeking the Lord, just a freshness in my prayer life. And the Lord referred my heart to look over in Revelation 4. And so I started reading Revelation 4, and I was in a pretty hard time, a dark time in my life. I had gone through about a year and a half of depression. The pastor can lead you to that, yes. And pastors go through that. And many of them have a hard time admitting it. I did. I said, I am depressed. Just the weight of it. It wasn't that I wasn't spending time with God. I was still spending 1 to 2 hours a day in prayer. But the weight of everything, and then whenever you're in situations and you're in spirit war constantly, and the Lord told me to look at Revelation 4, and I read it, and everything came alive to me. I began to have a freshness from the Lord. The awe of God returned, began to see who he was, and understanding the kingdom even greater, because we have a kingdom, and he's the king.
Yes.
And we're a part of that kingdom. We're not building the kingdom. We're releasing the kingdom on earth. Mm. And allowing it to just live through us is what we're doing on earth. But we're not here to build a kingdom. That's already been built. We're here to release what has already been built. Mm. So I started reading Revelation 4, and then started looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Where Jesus says, this is how I want to teach you to pray. And whenever you pray, go in the closet, close the door, and your Father will meet you in the secret place. Hmm. And he said he will meet you in the secret place. And while you're there, some things will happen, and you will begin to see the result openly of what has happened in that secret place. And my goodness, it'd take about 3 hours for me to explain all of that to you, Chris. And but everything opened, that whenever you open, when you go into a prayer time, you're going into it, you're entering into a spirit life. And that's how we operate anyway. We're born again of the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit. We operate with a spirit God. We can't see him, but yet we can. We see the effect of holy God all around us. And whenever you step into that closet, things begin to change. C.S. Lewis, I think, hit it right on the head whenever he wrote Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe.
Yes.
You know, and when the kids ran to the back of the wardrobe and they went into a different world.
Yes.
That's exactly what happens whenever you enter into a time of prayer. You're entering into a different realm. You're entering into the heavenlies. Still on earth, but yet in the heavenlies, in the spirit. Mm. And whenever you begin to visualize that in your heart and begin to take in what is there in the heavenlies, John, in the Revelation 4, showed what the secret place was. Whenever he was called up, saw the door, and their voice came and said, hey, do you want to come up here and see what is to come? He said, you bet. It's a whole lot better than what's down here. You know, I'm about to die on the Isle of Patmos. Yeah, anything better than this, you know? So he walked through the door, and he entered up into God's room, into throne room. And he was just awestruck, because there he saw God. Mm. He says, I saw the one up there on the throne. And it looked like jasper, and he began to describe him and began to describe the seven spirits of God in front that is revealed to us in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, the seven spirits of God. And you begin to see that. You begin to see the protectors of the throne. The cherubs are there. And you begin to read about the elders, how they took their crown and fell before the Lord.
Yes.
You know, that's worship. That is worship. And so you begin to see how worship really is in the heavenlies. But you're in awe with the one on the throne. And it is just magnificent when you get into that and you begin to behold God and you begin to listen and he affects your life. He changes your life. And so out of all of that, to simplify it, out of all of that, you begin to see God as your father. You see God as your dad, father, my provider, dad, my emotional stability.
Right.
He is the one that holds your hand like a dad does. You know, whenever you fall off the bicycle, your dad picked you up, you know, and held you and got you and encouraged you. And so he's your dad, but also your friend.
Beautiful.
Never to leave you. But also, I love what Jesus said over in Matthew 26 whenever they were questioning him about everything. And he said, yeah, I'm the one that sits on the right hand of the power. Mm. So my God is the power.
Yes.
The source of it. He is all it. He is all of the power. And so you begin to behold that whenever you take a request to the Lord, you know he's able to answer it. And it's a truth of it's just a spiritual truth, Chris, that it is so important how I see God, because it will affect how I pray and how I live.
This is fantastic.
You know, and I have to see him in all of those frames. And it enhances your prayer life. Now, you imagine this. If every Christian went into a prayer like that, and man, and got, I would just say, get lit up with God, because that's what happens to you, you know, because you're in him, and you're beholding the creator God of all of the universe. What would happen if we did that personally, privately, and went into corporate prayer meetings at church?
Mm.
Can you imagine what would happen, what it would be like? Man, heaven would come down and glory fill my soul, I think, you know?
And, yes.
But anyway, that's the idea of the throne room. And so whenever you pray, that's what you're stepping into. You're in. It'd take me another 2 or 3 hours to explain the rest of that. That's why I go spend time with pastors or churches and explain it to them.
Well, talk about that. You've enhanced my prayer life throughout the last 4 years, and certainly today even. Talk about how you might come alongside a church, Johnny. I know you do that, and some of our listeners may be very interested in that. So how could you help foster a culture of prayer in a local church? Should they call on you for assistance?
Well, one of the key ones in that church is the pastor. He has to have a prayer life.
Yes.
You know, it's sad that, but I understand the business of a pastor's life. I was in that for 41 years, and I understand the strain of it. But the average prayer life for a pastor, it runs between 7 to 10, maybe 12 minutes a day.
Wow.
The average. And that takes all denominations now. The average prayer life of a lay person anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes a day. Most of that's done while we say our blessing.
Yes.
You know, or while we're at the hospital with somebody like that. But very little time with God. So the pastor's a key person. He has to develop his prayer life. And he has to stay ahead of his congregation.
Mm-hmm.
So I spend a little time with the pastor in that. But when I can come into a church, and I'll begin to just teach about what prayer is. I'll teach the basic principles of prayer itself. It's the plan of God. It's the only plan God has for calling heaven to earth. The only one. It's not done by preaching. It's done by praying. And that it is the purpose of God in the area of prayer. So I teach that. I teach the throne room. I'll spend a good hour or so or more in this area. I'll deal with the aspects of the prayer life, the devotion life, yourself at home, how to develop the quiet time, because that's where it starts. And then I begin teaching the five principles of all kinds of prayer, of adoration, thanksgiving. Begin to share that a little bit deeper and how to intercede, teach you how to pray for lost people, how to pray for them, how to pray for missionaries if I need to, how to pray for others' needs there, how to just walk and do spirit warfare praying, because we're battling against not flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers.
Yes.
And there's a kingdom out there, a kingdom of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the war. So prayer puts you in the on the battlefield. It's not done in our pews. It's done in the prayer life. It gets us into the spirit realm that we can do battle in the spirit realm.
Right.
And against darkness. And so I'll go into a church and I'll just start teaching, sharing. It's very open end. I like to hear, talk about where people are, honestly, because we all have to deal with it and struggle with it. And we just kind of teach that and just see where people are. Sometimes I can do it in a day and a half. Sometimes if I got 1 hour, I'll take an hour.
Sure.
I'll take whatever I can get, you know. And I had a good friend, Glenn Shepherd. And Glenn's just a dear, dear, dear brother of mine. And Glenn told me several years ago I was preaching the Ohio Baptist Missions Conference. And that was being pressed for time. I was the keynote speaker, but I was at the very end, which means that good luck with your time.
Yes.
You know? So, and everything got pushed. It started at 8 o'clock that morning, and I was the last one. And I remember the executive director, Terry Dorsett from New England.
Yes.
He came, and Terry's just a dear, dear brother. And he came up to me, and he said, "Johnny, I need to pray for you." And I said, "Okay." And he's short. He reached up, put his arms, you know, on my shoulder, and he said, "Lord, we're tired. All of us are tired. Johnny's even tired. So, Lord, make it quick and good. Amen."
And what a joy Glenn is. He served, I believe, with the Home Mission Board, North America Mission Board, in Spiritual Awakening.
He sure did.
Wow. Do we ever need that kind of guy?
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He's 80-something years old. But he told me later, I was telling him about the experience, and he said, "Johnny," he just laughed. He said, "Johnny, God can do more in 5 minutes than you can in 30.
Yes, he's right.
He said he doesn't need a lot of time. And so just give me whatever time I can get. But I am open, you know, for pastors to call. They call. Okay. I get calls all over the country and, all over the world. Basically, and they deal with this matter of praying, and they all want to know, how do you do this in the throne room aspect.
Well, and I'm a recipient of your prayer coaching and also your prayer, and I'm grateful on Sundays when I'm about to usually stand in front of a group of strangers, you know, in any church around the region or the area, and you're praying for me. So I'm so thankful. I want every pastor to connect with Johnny Fain, because you'll be a source of encouragement to them. So how would they do that, Johnny?
Well, they can call. My number is 334-798-1251.
Great.
Call there, or you can go to my web page and of Simon International Ministries, and all the information that of contacting me is right there, Simon International Ministries. And if you wish to do just a direct email to me, you can do it by Dr. or Dr. Johnny Fain at gmail.com.
Okay.
Or call here, call you. You have my phone number anyway.
And, absolutely.
And so I love to be able to share and talk with people. And it's getting kind of busy right now, about to head to Oregon and Washington and Wales. And it is getting very hectic with my time. And then up to New England, leading up to a very important time coming around October 1st for us here in Birmingham.
Yeah, well, tell us about that.
Oh, my. This is going to be different and good. It's a prayer gathering that the Lord has directed us to be a part of, that we will be gathering at Sanford campus there in the Wright Center on October the 1st from 5 o'clock to 7 that night. 1 hour will be of worship and the other hour an hour of prayer. And the direction of the Lord is that there's no personalities being involved in this, no introductions of personalities, no preaching, no direction of anything. We're there almost like it was in the upper room at Pentecost.
I see. You know? Wow.
It's kind of like that moment of waiting for God to do what God is going to do. And it's a different matter because there's no program. We're waiting for 1 hour on the Lord to speak. And when he speaks, we begin to pray. But the neat thing is taking what God's telling us and taking it back to our communities and praying over the entire metro Birmingham area and ask God to just fall all over us here, because we need revival. The church needs reviving desperately because our city needs it.
Yes.
And the only way our city or our metro area can ever be revived or be evangelized is when the church gets revived. And so this is the revival of the church. So the church needs to show up October 1st at the Wright Center at Samford University at 5 o'clock until 7.
Okay.
And we will be through at 7 o'clock to return back to our cities and our churches and to share what God has happened.
Well, I'm excited about this. I'm going to make sure that the contact or the direction is in the show notes so people can click on that, go to the website, and look at this specific event that the Lord has made an appointment for. So,
yes.
So it has been a true joy to have you here, Johnny. Thank you for being in Birmingham, for coming north to be with the grandkids and bless pastors and churches in our community. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for all that you do.
It's an honor.
Thank you for listening to Undivided, a podcast of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. For more information on the association and to sign up for our newsletter, please visit bmbaonline.org as we seek to encourage, engage, and equip others in the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.